Hello, welcome to the Lewisburg United Methodist Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit lwbumc.com.
First off, this is my story. It's not meant to try to change anybody else's beliefs, okay? I don't think any of us are born prejudiced. I think it's something we learn through our life, or we're taught, or that we see other people, or it's our environment, or the situation we were raised in. I was taught the golden rule by my parents, which is something you don't hear a lot about anymore, but it's, you know, everybody knows just a simple thing of treat others as you like to be treated. And I don't know what happened to that. I don't really hear it much anymore. I don't know if these young people are being taught that or not, but that's what way I was raised and the way I was told to treat people. Now, I was born in Norfolk, Virginia, way back in 1944. It's hard to believe I'm almost 75, but I am. That was a time of segregation, and that was what it meant to younger people might not know is people of color could not enjoy the same things that we did. They couldn't go to our churches, our schools, or anything. So I was brought up in that kind of situation, so I became prejudiced because of my environment. Now, I evolved a little bit as I got older, and I got in the workforce, and I started working with people of color and got to know them, had friends, and, you know, I changed a lot. I accepted everybody as who they were, except I had one hang-up that I just couldn't get over, and that was homosexuality. I just couldn't understand it. I didn't like it. I didn't think it was right, and I had a hard time with it. But then about 15 years ago, our son, a lot of you know Adam, he's a very talented man, was a great young man growing up and still is. But he came to us and told us he was gay. Well, that really upset me. Being the way I was, I had a hard time accepting it. So it just tore me apart. I was twisted and turned. I knew we didn't raise him to be gay. I knew he wasn't his environment. It was just, he was that way. And I believed him, but I couldn't understand why. So I came to this church right here and talked to our two pastors, Patricia Jarvis and Julian Sulgin, about it and told them I was having a whole hard time embracing this. And they just told me that, you know, he's just like anybody else. He's one of God's children. We don't know why he's the way he is, but they felt that God put him on this planet the way he is. And I still didn't grasp that. I still had trouble. So I told Patricia, I said, you know, I think that he chose to be this way. And she looked at me and said, Luther, how could you think that somebody in this day and time, the way the gays are treated, would want to pick to be that way, to make a choice to live in the culture that doesn't accept it, that it's hard to even function as a gay person, they have to keep it quiet. And that woke me up. I thought, well, she's right. She said, he didn't choose that. He has no more way of changing what he is than I would change my color of my skin. So I accepted that. And I want to leave you a couple things before I go. One thing is the golden rule, and that's the way I was brought up. And I think if we could all go back to that, that's in the Bible too. It's not called the golden rule, but it's in the Sermon on the Mount and Leviticus, and it's in every religion, the golden rule. Somehow it spoke to. So I want to leave you with that, and also our church is facing a time of how to treat homosexuals in it. And I think everybody's been telling me all along about this. Is the question was, what would Jesus do? Well, we know the answer to that. Everybody knows that Jesus accepted everybody as they were and that they were children of God. So I don't ask my question what Jesus should do. I ask what I should do. So I hope all of you will ask yourself what to do. Thank you.
Our Savior went one day, and we read that John the Baptist met him there. When John baptized Jesus in Jordan's rushing water, the mighty power of God filled the air. I'm on my way, gonna wait right here. I'm going down to the river of Jordan. Let the cool water cleanse my soul. Stricken with dread and leprosy, and he sent for the man of God to pray. But Elisha said to Naaman, go dip yourself in Jordan and let the cool water wash your spots away. So he went right in, he went right in to dip himself in the river of Jordan, and the cool waters made him. Thank you. The river of Jordan is many miles away. This mighty river I may never see. But I'll find myself an altar in an old-fashioned church. My river of Jordan, that will be. I'm on my way, gonna wait right in. I'm going down to the river of Jordan. Let the cool water cleanse my soul. I'm on my way, gonna wait right in. I'm going down, down, down to the river of Jordan. Let the cool water cleanse my soul. And let the cool waters cleanse my soul.
This morning, the scripture reading comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from the heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. Amen. Every day that I get further away from my childhood, I look back and realize how fortunate I was at times. And one of the things that I realize now, that I was very fortunate, not just me, but my brother and sister as well, both older than me, is that we were some of the first young people in our community to receive automobiles to drive, thanks to our mom and dad. And it was a privilege. It was a blessing. Although I think my older brother and sister didn't always think that, because one of the contingencies for having an automobile was that they had to do chores and run errands for the farm, and they had to take their younger brother to school in the car. And my brother didn't like that at all, but I had to ride with him. It was mandated. And one morning, we were crossing the railroad tracks there in Talkett, and the school bus was in front of us. And of course, when the school bus crossed the tracks, it didn't pull right out on the street because cars were coming. So my brother pulled right up on the tracks behind the bus, thinking the, and it took so long for the traffic to clear that the lights started flashing. And he got nervous, as you can imagine. We both got nervous. And he immediately put his car in reverse and backed up. But the only thing that was, he didn't look behind him. And the car behind had pulled up too, thinking the bus was going on. And we crashed into the back of the car behind us, into the front of the car behind us. And so they quickly backed up, and my brother backed up, and the train went by. It was an old coal train, so it wasn't like the Amtrak. I don't know where we'd be today if it had been an Amtrak. The person in the other car was upset that my brother had not looked back or given him enough time to get out of his way. And so he was saying some not so nice things. And I'll never forget, Dad, what my brother kept saying, Ed, over and over again. He kept saying, "My dad is Chubby Halloran, and we will take care of this. My dad is Chubby Halloran, and we will take care of this." Again and again and again. And I think about how that little story relates to... He had this identity with our family that he was a Halloran, and Hallorans take responsibility for their actions. And it was like that family had a claim on us of who we were. Well, today in the scripture, Jesus goes down to the River Jordan, and John baptizes him, although a little reluctant, but he does baptize him, and the heavens open, and there's this voice from the Father saying, "This is my Son, the Beloved, in whom I am pleased, well pleased." Did you ever stop and think that that was God's way, the Father's way of affirming a claim that he had on Jesus? And by the way, isn't it interesting that all throughout the rest of the Gospels, Jesus is asking this question, "I must do my Father's will." A few weeks ago, when he was in the temple, even as a boy, he said to his mother and his father, "Did you not know that I should be about my Father's business?" So Jesus has this identity claim, if you will, and the Father is affirming it in that moment. Well, what's the possibility that that same kind of affirmation and claim is bestowed upon each one of us at the time of our baptism? What if God is looking down on each of us and saying, "I've claimed you. You are mine. You are my child, you belong to me, and I long to be pleased in you as well." I used to think, years ago, that baptism was just something that I did to show my faith in God. But now I realize that baptism was really something that God was doing for me. And by the way, the word sacrament, by its very definition, means God, something that God does in the life of the church for us. That's why when we come to communion, it's not an expression of our faith. We come as recipients. We hold our hands out and say, when the bread is placed in our hands, that it's a gift from God to bless us and reaffirm that we belong to God. And so it is in the waters of baptism. And today, a little later in the service, you will have an opportunity to come and to dip your hands in the font on this, the baptism of our Lord Sunday, and remember your baptism, whether you touch it to your forehead or make the sign of the cross or just simply touching the water is just a way of saying, God has a claim on my life. My brother was affirming that day there at the railroad tracks that the Hollering name had a claim on his life and it made a difference in how he lived. And so it's true of us. Does our baptism make any difference in who we are? Now, the oldest story about baptism in that scenario goes like this, and you've heard it 100 times. Somebody wanted to get baptized in the river. And by the way, it doesn't matter how much water. It only matters that the symbolism and the meaning of the water. But, you know, it was a cold, wintry day, and they wanted to get baptized. And they went down to the river, and there were little pieces of ice in the river, and they went down into the river, and they put this person under the water and brought them back up. And somebody on the bank yelled out and said, "Is it cold?" And the person said, "No, I feel the Spirit of the Lord." And somebody yelled back and said, "Put him under again." It hadn't worked. They're still lying. Does the way we live, does our baptism have such a claim on us that it means we live differently? One of my favorite stories from olden times is a story about a man named William Barker. William Barker worked for the Ford Motor Company in the early years up in the Detroit area. And he believed that the Ford Motor Company was well off. And so he made it his practice every day when he left just about that he needed something, whether it would be a tool or a part from a car. He concealed it in his belongings, his lunchbox or something. He concealed it and took it home with him. Tools, whatever he needed. But William Barker met Jesus, and it changed his life. He met Jesus, and he got baptized. And he realized that taking from his company was wrong. And so he went through his shop, and he found every tool that he'd ever taken from the Ford warehouse, factory. He gathered them all up and he carried them back into his foreman and he said, "Sir, here are all the tools that I've stolen over the years as an employee here, and I'm ready to tell you the names of the parts that I've taken as well and pay for them now." And the foreman said, "William, why are you doing this?" He said, "Well, I met Jesus and I got baptized, and Jesus now has a claim on my life and the way I live." The foreman was so overwhelmed with this story that he told his foreman, and it kept going down the line until finally somebody called Mr. Ford and told him what happened. There was a pause, a silence on the phone on the other end of the line, and then Mr. Ford said these words, "My friends, dam up the Detroit River and baptize the entire city." Does our baptism have that kind of claim on us? Do we know we belong to Christ? And because we belong to Christ, it does matter how we live. It matters how we treat one another. It matters. I want to close this morning with one last story. It's about a father who was coming home from work one day, and he got home and got in the house, and he was sitting in his easy chair, and he just wanted to read the paper. And his son, though, his very young son, was excited to see Dad and wanted his dad to spend some time with him, play with him. But the father was more interested in relaxing for just a few minutes with the newspaper. And so the son just kept pestering him. And so finally, the father got so frustrated that he laid that newspaper on his lap, and there was in the newspaper that day on one of the pages in front of him a picture of the world, the globe, and all the continents and so forth. And he just took that paper and just tore it down and tore it across the whole thing. And then he laid that down and he tore it into as many pieces as he could quickly. And he said, "Now here, son, you take this in the other room, and when you get the world back together, you bring it back to me, and I'll play with you." And he thought to himself, that'll take care of him for a good while. And so he took that paper, and it wasn't 2 minutes. 2 minutes, and he was back. And there it was, all laid out perfectly. And he said, "Son, I don't know what they're teaching you in school, but I never dreamed you'd get that together so quick." And the son picked up one of the pieces and flipped it over. He said, "Dad, on the back is a picture of a person. And I just figured if I got the person in the right place and in order, the world would be in order." Yeah. It still works that way, doesn't it? And if God has a claim on us, then we will live by the golden rule. We will try to treat others the way we'd want to be treated. And we'll try to show love and compassion to the people around us. When a few years ago I went out to Kansas to visit Resurrection United Methodist Church, where Adam Hamilton's a pastor. And while I was there, I saw that Reverend Hamilton had just been recently giving out these little tags. They're laminated. And it says, "Lord, as I enter the water to bathe, I remember my baptism. Wash me by your grace, fill me with your spirit, renew my soul. I pray that I might live as your child today and honor you in all that I do." On the baptism of our Lord Sunday, Reverend Hamilton gave those to every person in his church to take home and put somewhere in their bathroom or hang in their shower. There's a little suction cup there. Should work fine. And I started giving them to the churches that I served. In fact, I started this in Morgantown several years ago and gave them out. Never heard too much about it. But on the Sunday that I left to move down here, a young man and his wife and two children, he came up to me at the end of the service. He said, "Pastor Tim, I want to thank you for that little baptism thing." He says, "I have that in my shower, and every day that I get in the shower to take a shower, I say that prayer to start my day." You know, it might be dipping our hands in this water today. It might be this little prayer. But whatever it is, anything that can remind us of who we are and that we belong to God and that this water has a claim on us. And maybe I really should say it this way, that God has a claim on us through this water. You may be baptized and you want to remember your baptism. You may not have been baptized yet for various reasons. But you believe in what it represents. And you look forward to the day that maybe that will happen in your life. But for whatever reason, don't let anything keep you from knowing today that you and I and all of us, we do belong to God. And whether we acknowledge it or not, God has a claim on our lives. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from the Lewisburg United Methodist Church. We pray that you are blessed by God's Word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lwbumc.com.